Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you remember either one of those that you can remember, type that in. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Harry Chambers is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Harry's a management and leadership expert. He's the president of Trinity Solutions Incorporated. He works with clients all over the country and halfway around the world. Large companies, small country companies. He's the author of a couple of books, including the new one I'm holding in my hand, My Way or the Highway, the Micromanagement Survival Guide. Harry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
It's good to have you back. And Harry, one of the things that you and I've talked about in the past is this concept of being a micromanager. And actually, in the past, I think we've talked about the fact that it's kind of an automatic thing sometimes for a small business owner, because when we begin, micromanagement is required for survival, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
When we start our companies.
Yeah, when you start off your business, you probably won't survive if you don't micromanage. And the term that I like to use to define micromanagement, Jim, is micromanagement is legitimate managerial behaviors that are taken to extreme.
Say that again.
Legitimate managerial behaviors that are taken to extreme, or they're actually taken to the point where they start to interfere with people's ability to do their jobs.
When you don't know when to turn loose, when you don't know when to ease up a little bit.
That's right. And so many successful small business owners grow their business, and then it's time to involve others, and that's a risky time. It's also a challenging time, because it's almost like giving part of your baby away.
Oh, yeah.
And then they oftentimes don't enable it with the appropriate letting go of some of the responsibility, letting go of some of the authority. And that's when it becomes micromanagement. That's when it becomes interference to others, and it can be devastating to the growth of a business.
Yeah, it can be. And sometimes it creates conflicts with employees, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And it can create conflict with employees, the manager and the employees, but also among employees themselves.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I know you talk about in your book and in the work that you do is how to resolve these conflicts.
Yeah, that's somewhat of a passionate subject of mine, Jim, because in America, for the most part, in our relationships, even our personal relationships and certainly our workplace relationships, we are not good at resolving conflict. We have become an avoidance people. We tend to avoid conflict. If you and I work together and we're in conflict, we don't sit down and try to work through it. What we typically do is tolerate each other only as little as possible, even though we could be working side by side. And we're probably both kind of blaming each other for the fact that we don't get along, that we're not working well. And I would see myself as being just a wonderful person, but you're the kind of guy that I can't talk to. You're the kind of guy who doesn't want to resolve it, kind of a thing.
And isn't part of the problem how we actually define what the issue is? I mean, so are we sometimes guilty of determining something is a conflict when really it didn't have to be?
Absolutely, and we're so focused on blaming as opposed to resolving. If there's a problem between you and I have to blame you, you have to blame me, instead of us sitting down and saying, hey, there might be some issues here, let's talk about them. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, and again, this is in our personal lives as well as our professional lives, the issue may be unknown to the other party. Okay? Mm-hmm. I might be doing something to drive you crazy. I don't even realize it, or you don't realize that you're driving me crazy, and we never talk about it, so we just end up allowing the conflict to escalate. And we sense that something's wrong with the other person. We sense that they're not happy about something, but we don't know what it is. So then, of course, we start blaming them. And so conflict goes unresolved. And in our business lives, the unresolved conflict does a lot of devastating damage. And
yeah.
I would just give you and your listeners some quick...
Hold on to that thought a second there, Harry. We're going to take a quick break.
Oh, sure.
Think about this, folks. The avoidance of conflict, of resolving a conflict, as well as the improper characterization or determination of what you think is a conflict that might not actually be, is creating a lot of unproductive behavior. Let's think about that and talk about it right after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back. It's 17-till. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Harry Chambers, and we're talking about conflict in business. Can you imagine having anything like that in your small business, folks? Harry, by the way, folks, Harry is the author of My Way or the Highway, and I like the title, Harry. Tell us where we can find the book, please.
Well, the book is available in all major bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, those folks who have a big business section. It's also available online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
What about your website?
Certainly can visit my website, Harry at HarryChambers.com.
That's the email.
Or HarryChambers.com.
Yeah, there you go.
And if you can't find it, please let me know.
All right. Folks, Harry was pointing out that... that all the unproductive things that can happen when we don't resolve the conflicts, and I really hadn't thought about, Harry, how much, until we started talking, about how much conflict there is. I know about the conflict that's out there, but I hadn't thought about how many times people think that something's a conflict that really may not be. It's just that they've dreamed that up, and it just creates all this unproductiveness, and it's all because people aren't communicating, isn't it?
That's true. We don't take the risk of communication. And, Jim, there's some real interesting data that has been out for a couple of years that is making the case that this lack of resolution of conflict is generational. And I think your listeners might find this to be very interesting. Generations born before the Second World War, that's for many folks might be mom, dad, grandma, grandpa.
Right. Right.
Those generations were pretty good at resolving conflict interactively. Might not have been pretty, but they resolved it.
My dad was really, really adept at handling any conflicts he and I might have had.
Yeah, and what they did was they took it to the person they were in conflict with.
Yeah, he did that.
And when we think back to those generations, one of the things we love or loved about them, if they're no longer with us, is that you always knew where you stood.
Oh, yeah.
If they were unhappy with you, they came to you.
Absolutely.
They weren't telling everybody else in the family what a bad person you were. They were telling you to either stop doing this or start doing something different.
Right.
If they had a problem with their neighbor, they would take it to the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
They'd knock on the door and say, get your cow out of my yard. what they weren't doing was filing an anonymous claim with the Homeowners Association and those kinds of things. And that's what we do today.
No passive aggressiveness in that generation. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. And generations born since the Second World War, that includes me, and I'm guessing that's probably a good slug of your listeners.
Me too.
We have learned to avoid conflict, and we walk away from it. We assume if we ignore it, it will go away.
Why do we know why these generations are so different?
No, I don't know why. An opinion that I have, and that's all this is, Jim, is an opinion, is that we are much less dependent on each other today than we were in the past.
I don't think there's any question that that's a big part of it. The other thing I was thinking of, Harry, is when I was growing up, and maybe when you were growing up, people, you know, everybody didn't have air conditioning. A lot of nights, you know, when it wasn't cold, the windows were up, the screen doors, the doors were open. The only thing between you and your neighbors, if you had close by neighbors, was a screen door. You know, the screens between you and them, and the families were usually larger, and we rubbed elbows a lot closer. And I think we had to figure out how to get along. We couldn't kind of go into our cave and brood about it, could we?
No, but that's certainly what we do today. In the past, we needed our neighbors. We needed our family in many cases more than we do today. We are so self-sufficient that we can ignore people. We can just kind of blow them off, and we think that it doesn't do us any damage. It does, but we think that we can get along without them.
Well, how does this manifest in the workplace?
Well, there's a couple of things, Jim, and the first sign that we tend to see of unresolved conflict is lower productivity and quality. And you'll start to see productivity from an individual or perhaps from a group start to slide, and even the quality of work will start to slide. Now, decreases in productivity and quality can indicate a lot of things. I'm not just suggesting that it's always an unresolved conflict, but unresolved conflict is one thing that we have to consider. If you don't address it at that point, not only does that slide of quality and productivity continue, but then we start to see an escalation of passive-aggressive behaviors. And passive-aggressive behaviors, in many cases, are errors of omission, not commission.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what somebody does. It's what they're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
They give you lip service of, yeah, you know, I'll go take care of that, and then they don't. Or they give you lip service about wanting to support the change that you want to make, but then as soon as you turn your back, they're yipping to each other about how it won't work and so on. So we see an escalation of passive-aggressive behaviors. Then the third thing that we tend to see, if we don't resolve it at this point, those things continue, but we start to see an increase in formal appeals. Now, for small businesses, this is when we sometimes get sued. Somebody will sue us for mm-hmm. something. In larger organizations, this is where you see a lot of appeals, formal appeals to HR or maybe to an alternative dispute resolution program, whatever you might have in place in a collective bargaining environment where you've got unions involved. Then you start to see grievances raining from the sky.
Harry, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, I'm going to get Harry to tell us how we can solve this challenge. If we have it in our business, we probably do to some degree, every one of us. How are we going to fix this? When we come back, we'll talk to Harry about that. Stay with us. 10 till. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Harry Chambers, the president of Harry Chambers and Associates. Is that right, Harry? Did I say that right?
Yes, we've got H.E. Chambers and Associates and Trinity Solutions.
And Trinity Solutions. He's the author of My Way or the Highway, and that's the Micromanagement Survival Guide, available wherever books are sold. Give us your website again, Harry.
HarryChambers.com.
All right. Harry, I want you to tell us about how we can stop this problem with conflict, the avoiding conflict, and get us back onto a productivity trail. I think you got one more point that you want to make before we get into
that. Yeah, I wanted to just wrap up something we were talking about. The increases in formal appeals become very expensive because not only do we sometimes end up incurring a cost to settle something. But once it becomes formalized, once the conflict hits paper, lawsuit, complaint, whatever it might be, relationship is broken that I believe never gets repaired. So we never reclaim whatever good quality relationship we had.
And how many times have people said, I wouldn't have done this if it had just talked to me?
Yeah, I'll tell you what
happened. If he had just taken my phone call, if he had just sat down and told me, you know, we could have talked it out, I wouldn't have gone this far.
Yeah. Jim, you have just really, really broken the code, because so many times when there's a formal appeal of some kind, somebody will make the statement, you know, it wouldn't have got this bad if we would only have dealt with it early on.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have made the phone call, had the conversation. But the other thing I want to point out is the most egregious cost we pay for unresolved conflict is the potential for violence.
Yeah.
And there's some significant data that is indicating that violence in the workplace is oftentimes driven by unresolved conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And no business, no matter how big or small, is exempt from the potential for violence in America today.
Absolutely. So how do we fix this?
Let me give your listeners a quick suggestion on one of the ways that we can identify and avoid some conflict.
All right.
There's a great exercise that I suggest that all managers use with the people that they manage. And I would suggest you do this about 3 times a year, every 120 days. Dedicate 45 minutes, block all interruptions, and do this exercise. Ask your employee 3 questions. What do I do that helps you? What do I do that hinders you? And what could I consider doing differently? And what you'll start
to... Say those again.
What do I do that helps you? What do I do that hinders you? What could I consider doing differently? Now, no guarantee that you'll do it, by the
right.
way, but you want to get employee input. Here's the key.
And you try to get each employee individually and ask them that?
Yes, absolutely.
Just get them to the conference room or call them into your office or something.
Yep.
Just the two of you.
Just the two of you where you're undisturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few times you do it, Jim, the employees tend to be uncomfortable with it, and they want to tell you, oh, everything's fine. Oh, no, there's nothing you do that hinders me.
Right.
But at some point, they're going to say, well, you know, Jim, there's one thing, maybe. And then you know you're getting somewhere. But what you tend to do is you start to identify conflict early. When it's the molehill, before it becomes the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reverse of that is, after you ask the employee those questions, they ask you those questions.
And you have to encourage them to do that, though, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So and they may feel uncomfortable, which is fine, but this gives you an opportunity to give them some input as well. So that's one thing I strongly recommend, and this identifies the problems early.
It's amazing how long an employee will go without ever saying anything to the boss about what they're doing to sabotage their own company.
Yeah, and then sometimes they end up leaving you,
mm-hmm.
and you've lost somebody you shouldn't have to lose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You shouldn't have to lose.
Well, I got 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
There's another phrase I want your listeners to use. If you sense that there is a conflict, approach an employee and say, I think there's a problem, and I'm sure we can work it out. Help me understand what it is.
Mm-hmm. But you got to go to them and be straight with them, don't you?
Yeah, they won't come to you.
Yeah, yeah. Harry, this is good stuff. Thank you for helping us understand this. Conflict resolution, ladies and gentlemen, it could be costing you, having conflicts, unresolved conflicts, I should say, could be costing you a lot of money, maybe even your company. Harry, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
HarryChambers.com, and your listeners can certainly contact me at Harry@HarryChambers.com.
My Way or the Highway is the book, wherever books are sold. Thanks, Harry. See you next time.
Jim, thank you, sir.
Okay, see ya. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you in a little bit.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.